Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
We're currently working through the Lord's Prayer. Last week we studied the second petition in this prayer, Your Kingdom Come, which brings us to the next phrase, which is, Your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And just as our prayer for the kingdom involved for it to increase here and now in some measure, and then also praying for the hastening of that day when it'll totally be in place, it's the same thing here with God's will. God, cause more and more of your people to obey you and to do your will. Cause the saints to obey you in greater ways. And on the other hand, we also pray, God, let send your Son and eliminate all rebellion and all evil, everything that's against your will in this world. So we pray for both. And there's a couple of reasons that we pray for that. One is the obvious reason, is God will answer that prayer. We pray for it because God will answer it. His will of desire will take place on earth more, and he will be obeyed more on earth if we pray this than if we don't pray it. Do you believe that? This is why we pray. Prayer works. The second coming will be sooner if we pray for it than if we don't. God answers prayer. And so that's one reason why Jesus wants us to pray for this. It's because God will answer it. The other is another reason, though. When Jesus tells you to pray for something, he's telling you to desire that. We've seen that so far all along. He's teaching us what our desires should be. This is what we should want. The issue is not just that you mouth these words, regardless of what's in the heart. The issue is that you really want this. You want the will of God so much that you start asking for it in prayer. One of the keys to improving your prayer life is just simply getting to the point where you want what God wants more. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight in doing your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Psalm 143, 10, teach me to do your will, for you are God. The saints just want to do whatever God wants, whatever it is he wants. This is what God meant when he called David a man after my own heart. He called him that because David delighted in God's will. Acts 3, 13, 22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. That's why God's so eager to answer the prayers of the saints, because we love what he loves, and he's eager to do the things that we ask for in prayer because they're the very things that he desires. Someone once said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of God's eagerness. Think about that quotation for a minute, because I think that might change the way a lot of people think about prayer. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. Prayer is laying hold of God's eagerness. He's eager to answer our prayers because we pray for the very things he wants, and what we want most is whatever he desires. And we want that. We want what he desires, whatever it happens to be, for two different reasons. Love and faith. Think about this for a minute. Wanting whatever God wants is especially pleasing to God because it's the perfect combination of love and faith. The more you love someone, the more you desire what they desire. Imagine a newlywed couple. They're deciding to go on vacation. Husband wants to go to the mountains, but finds out the wife really, really likes the beach. And he's not really crazy about the beach, but when he finds out how much his wife really just desires that, suddenly he finds that's where he wants to go. Not because he likes really the water or the sun or the sand or any of that, but he just loves the thought of his new wife being really, really happy. And he just pictures her having a great time and smiling, and so he just wants to go there now. And so he takes her to the beach, not because he's sacrificing his preference for hers, but because now the beach really is his preference. He just really wants it because of her. That's how it is with us and God. The more you love someone, the more you want what they want. We love, more than anything, God's smile, his favor. And so we long for his desires to be fulfilled so that he will be pleased. 2 Corinthians 5:9. So we make it our goal to please him. When Jesus announced he was leaving and returning to his Father, his disciples were upset at this loss they were going to incur. Jesus is leaving. And John 14:28, Jesus said, "If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to my Father." If you loved, you'd be glad. Where there's love, there's gladness when the beloved experiences something wonderful. The Lord gets what he desires. Those who love the Lord will be happy because they love him. They desire what he desires. So desiring what God desires is a function of love. It's a function of love. And it's also a function of faith. Turn in your Bible to John 4. Imagine you went on a whitewater rafting trip for the very first time in your life. And as you're approaching, and you're just having a great time, you love the rapids and everything, and as you're approaching one particular rapid, your guide says, "Okay, you want us to do, should we take the left side of this rapid or the right side? You can go either way." And you answer, I have no idea. I don't know. What do you like? Which side do you prefer?" And the guide says, "Oh, are you kidding? I live to go down the left side of this rapid. The left side of this rapid is amazing. It's my favorite part of the trip." Well, suddenly you desire the left side of the rapid, right? You've never seen it. You don't know what it's like. You don't know anything about it. But you want to go down the left side of this rapid. Why? Because you trust the guide. Assuming you trust the guide. He knows the river. He knows what's fun. And he prefers that left side. And so now it's where you really want to go because you know that he's thinking it's best. He loves that left side, and so now you want the left side. That's trust. You're desiring what he desires because you trust his judgment. Whatever his will is, it's what you love. It's not so much a matter of love. You don't love the guide so much. You just trust him. And this was Jesus' attitude with God's will. He had absolute confidence that whatever God desired would be great. That left side would just turn out to be great if God likes the left side. For Jesus, doing the will of the Father was like eating food. John 4:34, Jesus said to him, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." My food is to do his will. It's like eating food. You know, a lot of us are on diets, right? Probably everybody. Everybody's on a diet all the time. We're always kind of, you know, in our culture, wealthy culture, we're always trying to have to cut back on food that tastes good. And, you know, that's all right. It's good to have some moderation, watch out for your weight, and be healthy and all that. But don't get so carried away with dieting all the time that you're not enjoying food. Enjoyment of food is a huge part of life, and it's a huge part of understanding biblical imagery. It's a good food. There's so many pleasures connected with food. It gives you energy when you're weak. It nourishes your body and gives you health. It gives you strength. It satisfies hunger pangs. So you go from a feeling of emptiness to a feeling of fullness. It tastes good. And so Jesus says, that's what doing my Father's will is like for me. It brings nourishment, it brings strength, it brings energy into my life. It satisfies the cravings that I have deep in my soul. It tastes good. It's the pathway to joy and pleasure. It's that left side of the rapid, and Jesus just had no doubt that it would be good. Nothing in the world is more satisfying than doing the will of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul more. God's will is that left side of the rapid, and if we trust the guide, we're going to be just eager. We won't be able to wait to go over there, even though we don't know what's over there. We have never experienced it. So you desire what your wife desires because you love her. You desire what your river guide desires because you trust him. And when it comes to your Father in heaven, there's both love and trust, right? We're delighted more than anything by what delights God because we love him, and nothing is more desirable to us than God's pleasure because we trust him. And if God is glorified when we love him, and God is glorified and pleased when we trust him, then he's doubly glorified and doubly pleased when we desire what he desires, right? Because it's a function of both.
I have a couple questions this time. First, regarding that comment that the second coming will happen sooner if you pray, "Your kingdom come." Do you believe that? Do you really believe that God answers prayer, especially the kinds of prayers that Jesus taught us to pray? Are there some things that you haven't been praying for that you should pray for, but you haven't been praying for them because you're not fully convinced God answers prayer? And then number two, if you had a machine that would hook up to your heart and could adjust your desires up or down with a dial, what adjustments would you make? You can make those adjustments, not with the machine, but with love and faith. Give some thought to how you might use love for God and trust in Him to make the adjustments that you were just thinking of.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.